Hello, North South Podcast listeners. This is Chad Campbell, and today I will be starting a series I've been pondering on for quite a while, as I am going to chronicle 2006 U.S. wrestling. You may be thinking to yourself, that's kind of an arbitrary time frame, 2006. How did you come about that? Well, let me tell you. In 2010, on the Pro Wrestling Only message board, I was pretty maligned with current wrestling, as 2010 is, I think, one of the worst years in modern wrestling, just from a quality and content standpoint. And so I was looking for an outlet, and I was perusing the Pro Wrestling Only message board, and I saw a shill for a 1996 yearbook. And that struck me as an interesting concept, and I'd been talking to Good Hellman and Loss, not regularly, but at some points in time at this juncture. And so from there, that started the yearbook projects for the 90s, and I thought those were a great way to have a good understanding of the year in wrestling, to have something that you could be kind of quote-unquote proud to show off of in your DVD collection, and to just watch some really cool wrestling footage that it kind of takes you by surprise that, oh, this is 1996. This was 14 years ago at the time that set was released. So this is kind of retro. I mean, this is, you know, 14 years in the rearview mirror. And that's where we are right now, current day, 2020, with 2006. And as you'll see, 2006 is also, I think, an interesting year to evaluate overall, because you had TNA coming off what most people thought was their best year ever. You have WWE and the ups and downs of it in 2006 that we'll chronicle. And then you have the indies, and I think the indies is where this series will really shine, because to me, 2006 feels like a peak year for Chikara. It feels like a peak year for Ring of Honor. And then you also is when PWG also became really relevant within the scene in 2006. And that's not taking anything away from some upstarts like AAW, like Shimmer, like IWA Mid-South and CCW all had really good years in 2006. So we will chronicle throughout this series as much as we can. Won't get all of it. I can already tell you, just in my research, I've looked into some Jersey All-Pro Wrestling and some Ohio Valley Wrestling, and it's been kind of tough to obtain. So if you have the Ohio Valley Wrestling for 2006 and would be so kind to give me a shout out for that, please let me know. That'd be great. But I'm interested to start this and to see kind of where it takes us, because going in, I have no idea what I would think will be the match of the year, who I think will be the wrestler of the year. I mean, I have some indication that it'll probably be somebody like Bryan Danielson, or maybe Chris Hero in match of the year, you know, maybe the Cage of Death in Ring of Honor, or maybe Kenta versus Bryan Danielson from Glory by Honor Night 2. But I think it's all about the journey. So let's go ahead and start in. And the first show we'll be watching is Raw from January 2nd, 2006. It's from the Continental Airlines Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And right away, this is a period of WWE I'm very unfamiliar with. Was not watching regularly. Just for myself, 2006, I had been dating my now wife, Jennifer, for right at a month. We started dating on the last day of November in 2005. So a brand new relationship that was blossoming over 2006. I was a sophomore in college in 2006, so WWE Raw was not exactly appointment viewing at all, and even the pay-per-views, there's some of these pay-per-views that we'll chronicle that I may have seen once, but honestly, I don't know if I've seen all the pay-per-views from this era, and besides WrestleMania 22 and probably SummerSlam 2006, I'm unfamiliar with all of it. So we'll learn together. And one thing that right off the bat that I'd forgotten was this was the Joey Styles era of Raw, as Joey Styles is your lead announcer. He's joined by the coach and Jerry the King Lawler. And we start off with a Vince McMahon promo. This is right as he's ramping up his feud with Shawn Michaels. And Vince is very obnoxious here. And throughout this show, I thought it was telling that, you know, after the Benoit murder-suicide, and then we really enter into the PG era, and it feels like we're only a couple of years from, like, the JBL is poopy type crap that Cena did. And so it was striking to me that here we are in early 2006, and as you'll see with this show, there's still a good bit of cursing, there's blood, there's some kind of ruthless aggression, tread lines that are still trying to hold strong, there's some TNA mixed in, so there's a lot of attitude error holdovers, and it's definitely a TV-14 product from what we've seen. So in Vince's promo, he basically runs down, says it's no more Mr. Nice Guy, he did everything for the fans, and this is how they respond to him, and that he should have spit in Shawn Michaels' face last week and fired his ass. So, in response to that, he makes our first match in the brand new year, which is Kane versus Shawn Michaels. And this has the added stipulation that if Shawn uses the Sweet Chin Music throughout this match, he is DQ'd and loses. So kind of how I'm going to take this series is I'll be talking about the matches overall. But I also want to talk about kind of the long-standing trends that we see throughout the year, because I think that's, if you're chronicling a year, you can look at the microcosm of what you're watching right there with the match at hand, but I think those long-standing trends that you tell throughout the year are, to me, the more interesting facets of chronicling a year comprehensively. And we'll start right out with Shawn Michaels. I think Shawn Michaels overall, as a wrestler at this point in time, and his quality standing is kind of died down. I know a few years ago with the greatest wrestler ever, there was a raging debate over Shawn Michaels of whether he was good at all from a few very vocal participants. And then you also have the WWE canon that you would see where Shawn's the greatest in-ring performer of all time. I think now we both sides have kind of calmed down and picked our battles in other areas, and we've sort of regressed to the mean, which is what most people think. Shawn Michaels was a great, great worker, but probably not the best wrestler of all time. Even if you're a WWE-centric a watcher. And I think that was vetted out when Place to Be Nation did their greatest WWE wrestler of all time. Now that did weigh in promos, had the NJPW system moments and stuff like that. So Shawn's not going to do as great there with the drawing and whatnot. But, you know, he finished sixth in that final polling. That's a fine showing, but I would have honestly expected him to finish probably third behind Savage and Austin, and I was surprised he finished sixth. I was especially surprised he finished behind somebody like John Cena. I was surprised that he finished behind Bret Hart, just because he has the second career. So I thought that was telling in that, you know, where Shawn Michaels kind of stands at this point in time on the IWC in the eyes of the fans. That being said, 2006 for Shawn Michaels, I think, is going to be a very interesting slash pivotal year, because now he's a full-time worker with the promotion, and it's a year that, again, I'm not too familiar with, but I don't think very fondly of what I am familiar with of Shawn Michaels in 2006. I do enjoy the Vince McMahon match at WrestleMania, which we'll get to and see if that opinion holds up, but otherwise I'm thinking of a lot of DX reunion comedy that I'm not going to be a fan of, more than likely, some Spirit Squad burials, and it's just, besides that Vince McMahon match, I'm not unless I'm blanking on a very obvious choice, I'm just not thinking of a Shawn Michaels kind of staple match that kind of comes to my mind immediately for 2006. So I use all that as a prerequisite to give my first kind of hot take theory that I'm going to see if it holds water. And it did strike me while watching this match that I thought of this. And it is that I think 2006 is probably going to be Shawn Michaels' worst year in ring from 1993 onward. And we'll see if that holds water. I know 2007, 2008, 2009 just seem to have automatically bigger moments, bigger matches that I can recollect real quickly in my mind. And 2006 just doesn't have that. And I think that was vetted out in this match too. Shawn having, to me, his worst tendencies can be from his offensive maneuvers being sort of limited. You take away the sweet chin music, which he can hit from anywhere, is a very effective move in that regard. And I think you struggled in this match when Shawn was on offense. Now, you know, a good worker can help kind of hide that. Kane is not the person to do that. So you would have in the finishing stretch here when Shawn makes his comeback, he's doing stuff like a swinging neck breaker. And some other stuff that's just not going to get a pinfall on Kane. It doesn't look very credible at all. And I think that really hurt this match. The overall storyline for the match is fine. It's, you know, again, really ramping up Vince versus Shawn at WrestleMania. That's the end game here. It, in fact, kind of seems a little bit pointless that Shawn's in the Elimination Chamber, which is coming up Sunday, by the way, New Year's Revolution. Starting right hot and heavy with a pay-per-view. And but, you know, it's going to be Vince versus Shawn at WrestleMania. You can see those worlds colliding. The finish here is Vince is distracting Shawn as he attempts to do the sweet chin music. He strikes up the band. Vince says if he does it, not only will he be DQ'd, but he'll lose his spot in the chamber. Shawn jaws with Vince and then turns right around and gets hit with a chokeslam from Kane. And Kane gets the pin, actually. 1, 2, 3, right in the middle of the ring on Shawn Michaels to open the air. I'll give some star ratings. I went 2 stars on this. Pretty basic. I mean, Kane on offense, again, was nothing exciting. Used some rest holds. So this was mostly just storyline vehicle. After the match, we also learned that Vince says Shawn will be number one in the Elimination Chamber. And there's only been 3 Elimination Chambers at this point, but no one from the number one position had ever won the match. Next, we'll briefly touch on the Jerry the King Lawler, Gregory Helms angle. I thought this was weird. It just didn't work out. Gregory Helms is doing his whole serious gimmick. They love to throw Lawler in these angles kind of ramblingly and haphazardly at different times. Basically, from what we saw tonight, Gregory gets in the ring. He calls out the King. Lawler says, you know, at least with the Hurricane, even though he's a comedy act, he was entertaining. Now he's just a guy that sucks. That gets Gregory Helms to slap the King, and then the King punches him back and makes the challenge for New Year's Resolution. I didn't think this was very good at all. King is one of my favorites, but this was a angle that just struggled, and I'm not exactly looking forward to the match at all either. This was a miss for me. And we'll see that throughout this. I do want to say, you know, I'm going to be as brief as I can on these shows. So the stuff that I consider quote-unquote fluff, I'm not going to dwell on too much. But throughout this show, there seemed to be about 5 or 6 pivotal angles going on Raw right now. And it was about 50-50 in ones I was digging and ones I was not. I mean, I dig the Shawn versus Vince angle stuff. But this was a miss, Helms versus Lawler. Then we get to another one that I enjoyed what we saw here, and that's Trish versus Mickey. We see from last week where Mickey kissed Trish under the mistletoe. We get our first canceled moment of 2006 where King is just being pervy and says it's not creepy at all. Joey Styles thankfully has the correct take and say, you know, if Trish was not consenting, then yes, it was creepy. Then we see Trish running up the steps doing some workout. And Todd Grisham interviews her. Trish says the kiss did make her feel uncomfortable. Todd tries to pry some more about the kiss, and Trish says she doesn't know whether it was mind games or what, but she's going to take a shower now. Then we cut later in the show to Trish taking the shower. We learn that Mickey James has stole the towel. Trish asks for it back, and she says this was the only way she could get Trish's attention. She doesn't want to give Trish the wrong idea. And then she hands Trish the towel, but when she does, she kind of gazes and tells Trish that she has nice boobs. So, I'm interested to see how this angle progresses. I think this is one of the more, again, this is certainly, we're not in the PG era with this angle and what they were doing. That leads us to an Edge interview segment. I thought this was really lame. Edge is going to be somebody else, kind of in the Shawn Michaels boat, that 2006 was a real breakout year for him. Unless I'm mistaken, up to this point, he has not even main evented a pay-per-view yet, which seems crazy considering he's been around since 1998. But as we'll see, that's going to quickly change with New Year's Revolution. And he's in a feud, though, with Ric Flair. They're going to be having a match at New Year's Revolution. And he does one of these kind of cheap, heelish videotapes of him having road rage, broke down on the side of the road. It's Edge in a robe and a bad wig. It's bad acting. It's comedic. It doesn't even... the way it's portrayed, you don't even really realize why Flair would be embarrassed about this or angered by this, because it's just not funny. It doesn't hit close to home, really. It's just a bad skit and not done well at all. It kind of reminded me, if you're a Wrestling Warzone listener, this reminded me of some Billionaire Ted sketches. So that is not a compliment. Basically, this ends in Flair tagging him in the ring. He almost gets the figure four on Edge in the ring, but Alita attacks, and then he does get the figure four on Lita as Edge runs away, and Joey questions Edge's manhood and leaving his girlfriend to take the brunt of Ric Flair's figure four. So that, we'll see how the match turns out, but again, a really bad angle, really bad interview segment overall. Our next match that I watched was Shelton Benjamin versus Chris Masters. This is a nothing match, but I think this is also one that's kind of cool from my corners, as Shelton Benjamin, I think, is a fan favorite of some of the people that are very WWF-centric fans that have watched WWF over the years. But on my corner of the internet, pro wrestling only, Chris Masters is actually someone that became a cult favorite in the Superstars era of 2009-2010. And I'm guessing most of the people that I interact with daily, such as Charles or Dylan Hales, would say that they prefer Chris Masters as a worker overall throughout his career over somebody like Shelton Benjamin. And that can be kind of a blasphemous statement for some. But I thought it was just an interesting match that these two were matched up together. Not a good match at all. It goes back and forth. It's pretty basic. There were some awkward spots. I don't think Masters had put it together near at all yet. He's in the right position, but just his impact and everything is a little off. And Shelton actually wasn't very graceful in this match either, for someone that kind of can get by on that in other areas and other matches. Didn't happen here. So this was a very generic vanilla Raw match, star and a half. We get some quick clips of Ben Roethlisberger attended a house show last week. Pretty good timing on WWE's part, as the Steelers had just snuck in as the sixth seed in the playoffs, but they'll actually go ahead and win the Super Bowl this year. So, you know, they hit when the iron was hot with Big Ben giving some WWE PR here. So that was pretty good. Then we get our next interview segment with Triple H versus The Big Show. And this is another one of the angles that I'm pretty negative on. Triple H's mustache, he's rocking the handlebar type mustache here. He tries to set up a clip from last week where he broke Big Show's hand. They actually show a clip from 5 weeks ago. So that was a big gaffe on the production standpoint. In fact, when they cut back to Triple H, he admits that that's not what he thought they would show, but it's live TV, so he'll wing it. He basically runs down. Big Show says he broke his hand. He'll break his soul at New Year's Revolution, blah, blah, blah. Big Show comes out with maybe the biggest cast I've ever seen on his hand. And then he proceeds to stalk Triple H around the ring. And this is where this gets really cartoony, because I understand the sentiment that, oh, you know, Triple H thought he was breaking Big Show's hand, but it's now in this huge cast. It can be used as a weapon. That's all well and good. But they made this so cartoony where Big Show at one point punches the monitor on the announce table on the outside. Sparks fly, smoke starts filling up, the table actually collapses. So they're basically presenting Big Show as this like Incredible Hulk smash type weapon now with this punch. He punches the step some. It didn't look well. It didn't come off well at all. And we'll see with the match, because I do think there is some interesting stuff they could do with the psychology of the hand being injured or being weaponized, but we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's a match I don't recall at all, so it could be good, could be bad. Sometimes those under-the-radar Triple H matches surprise me, so I'm going to go into that match cautiously optimistic, but this just got way too cartoony with the monitor exploding after a Big Show punched it. And that leads us into our main event, and it's a big main event to start the year, as we have Kurt Angle versus John Cena. John Cena is still in his Thuganomics gimmick. He gives a nice big rap running down all the competitors in the Elimination Chamber to start off. Got a good reaction, I thought, from that. And Angle comes out. The match actually started on WWE.com while we were in a commercial break, so we don't see that. But when we come back, the crowd is really electric here. And we're seeing Kurt giving some German suplexes to Cena. And we're definitely seeing a crowd dynamic here where Kurt's getting cheers. Mostly from the masculine side of the fans. The early college age men in the audience. You can see fist pumping when Kurt's on offense. So it's a give and take crowd reaction to this match. But overall, the crowd is excellent for this match. This is a match I'm pretty sure I've never seen before. I really enjoyed it. I thought the crowd carried it, but the work was solid. The storyline was solid. Daivari interferes constantly throughout the match, but I thought it was done in a good way and not a hindrance. And overall, this was our first, you know, very good match of the year. So Cena punches back. There's definite boos here. Daivari's able to trip up Cena for some more cheers. Then Angle takes an absolutely insane bump on a backdrop to the outside, lands really hard on the mat area, but it looked nasty. Daivari on the outside is punching Cena with the metal. Angle hits his Angle Slam, but he misses the chair shot. Now Cena makes his comeback. I thought when Cena did make his final comeback, there was more cheers than when we first started with the match, but there's also still some jeers from the crowd as well. We get some reversals. The ankle lock is put in by Angle. Cena reversals that, and Angle goes flying into Chad Patton, the referee, which they actually were still name dropping. So that's something that they were still doing in 2006. The referee still had names. Daivari then again interferes, and when Cena turns around, Angle paced him with a chair. That busts Cena open. He's bleeding really badly. I think this is where the crowd gets behind him even more throughout the match. So I thought Cena did a good job in, you know, just taking all the jeers in stride. And by the way the work was done within the match, he was winning most of them over. Most of the ones that he could win over anyway. Cena actually locks in the STFU, which they're calling it the STFU. Daivari grabs the referee. shows him that Cena is busted open. I think I forgot to mention this was a first blood match. So Daivari grabs the referee, shows that Cena's busted open. Angle ends up winning. There's a great visual of Cena. It's kind of unseemly, but Cena has the STFU locked in. He's dripping blood, and it's actually covering up Angle just from the loss of blood that Cena's having. So Angle wins. That gets a cheer. And then we get our kind of closing angle to finally set up New Year's Revolution, the big main event, where Cena won't break the STFU, Daivari gets punched down, and then Masters and Carlito come out, and they attack Cena. Angle locks on the ankle lock, but then I thought in a cool moment, Masters ends up putting the master lock on Angle, and Carlito takes out Daivari. I thought that was really cool and showing that the Elimination Chamber was every man for himself. Kane comes out with the fire and brimstone. He cleans house of everybody, but then in a great camera angle, you don't see him come out, but as soon as Kane turns around, he gets hit with a sweet chin music from Shawn Michaels. So now Shawn Michaels is standing tall, but as while all this is going on, Cena has been able to recover enough to give Shawn Michaels an FU, and we pretty much end the show with all six of your Elimination Chamber competitors down on the mat and kind of wounded going into the big match on Sunday. So overall, like I said, first very good match of the year. I ended up going 3.5 stars on it. Thought it had good energy, great crowd. Great work. I really enjoyed this one. I think it's kind of a hidden gem. If you don't want to watch anything else from this show, I think you can safely probably watch Vince's opening promo and then watch this main event, and you get the gist of what you need to see as far as high points from the show. Maybe throw in some of the Trish Stratus, Mickey James segments if you're so inclined. So overall, like I said, kind of a mixed bag show. I mean, it was entertaining enough. I didn't feel too bored about it. It was, you know, good just to go into a different era. You know, as I'm recording this, we're all kind of in social distancing and hibernating together. So it was just nice to go back into an era that I'm unfamiliar with this Raw. And there was some ups and downs. And hey, there was a very good match that I'd never seen before. And I had no idea existed till I watched this on the network. So that'll do it for this edition. Like I said, thank you. Any feedback is welcome, and we will plow on through 2006, and our next show will be the SmackDown. So we'll see what's going on in the SmackDown things. Talk to you guys later. Bye.